How good it is to worship our King, eh?
How good.
I needed that, to be honest. In preparing my talk, I was thinking, yeah, this is great, but I needed some spirit in me to empower and embolden me. We've set up the stage differently. The whole idea is that I don't get to march around the stage. So I'm just going to, if you see me growing through the sermon, that's because I'm marching. I think it was really interesting that we went on to the topic. Well, it came up that we were an army. So Ezekiel 37, and it talks about dead bones being raised into an army of people. Now, we often think of the church as a lovely family, and that is one of our priorities, becoming a family and being family together. But in preparing this, I just thought, you know, you are God's army. You're his living, risen army on this world. If you're a first-time visitor and you've not been here the last 2 weeks, you won't know, but we're in the middle of a series. Have we got my talk or not? The laptop's crashed. Okay. So the series is called Living on Purpose. And it's building a healthy church and a healthy me, basically. That's the whole idea, that we would build a church that is healthy. And we have a vision here that we're going to go after the presence of God, like we did this morning. We're going to do everything that we can to be committed to going after the presence of God. Because when we seek the presence of God, we see salvation come. And salvation is our second priority. We are a church that is committed to making every decision that we can to make sure that we see as many salvations as possible in the London Borough of Barnet.
Come on.
In London, in the UK, and Europe. That's what our commitment is. And wasn't it wonderful to celebrate two people being baptized last week?
Come on!
That is a fruit of us focusing on going after salvation. We're also a church that goes after transformation. So we want to see the kingdom of God come again in Barnet, in London, in the UK, and beyond. We want to see God's kingdom breaking out through us. And we do lots of things corporately as a church. So we do things like shelter. We do things like Christians Against Poverty, where we go out and work with people in debt. We do things like Food Bank, where people come and they get fed. We do things like Fireworks Night, which encourages, is a community event. And it's all about bringing transformation to this community. We are committed to going after transformation. This isn't a new thing. This is something that God spoke to us about in 2016. He spoke to a group of the prophetic and the elders of the church at that time, and he said, you need to go after these three things. And we have been committed to going after these three things since. And actually, if you recognize some of my words today, it's because I listened to Dave Price's talk from January 2017, when he talked about transformation. So if you do recognize it, give him credit. Don't we miss him? He didn't die. He went on to work in another church. I got a kind of... And it's going really well. He's not dead either. I was talking to him this week. He's doing really well. He is doing really well. Their church is going really well, and it's fantastic to see. Isn't it a privilege to live in London?
Yes.
This is the capital of the UK. This is where the government is. This is where there's all kinds of arts, media. It's where there is the best education in the UK, but not just the UK. There's some outstanding worldwide universities here. We've got the NHS and the core of that. We've got some fantastic schools. We've got all sorts all around us. It's a busy, bustling city. There's 8.7 million people who live here with us. We rub shoulders with them every day. Those 8.7 million people, billion, ooh. can feel like it, Jackie, can't it? Isn't that a privilege? I'm made up of every different nation, tribe, and culture across the world. What a privilege that is. I can go out. I spent some time in Cambodia, and I wanted to get some Cambodian food. Do you know where the only Cambodian restaurant in the UK is? Camden. I can just pop down the road and get it. Not that Cambodian cuisine is excellent, so I wouldn't advise it if you're not. You can go out and get all kinds of different food. You can mix with all kinds of different people. You have all kinds of different neighbors. London is a wonderful place to live. Do you know the Bible ends talking about a city? The city of God, paved with gold. People come to London thinking it's paved with gold. It's not. Paved with gold. Where there's no more hurting, no more pain, no more suffering. Where people get to spend all their time in the presence of God. It won't need the sun anymore because God will be its light. Isn't that incredible? So London is amazing, but it's not the kingdom of heaven. I'm sure your perspective will be different to my perspective because God puts you in a different place to where I am. So I work in the council, I work in welfare reform, so helping people through the changes in benefit systems. I work with the homeless, so helping people who are on the street out of that situation. So my perspective is looking at that situation. That's where God has placed me to be God's ambassador in that place. Your perspective of the troubles that London has will be different to mine. And God has made it that way so that we can come together and bring the kingdom of God in all different areas. I'm going to read from Jeremiah 29. This is a letter that was written to a group of exiles. So what had happened is Babylon, a powerful nation, had come in and they had been in battle with Israel. They had beaten Israel and they had taken captive a load of their people, killed a load, taken captive, and then taken them off to Babylon to be their servants or slaves or to serve the nation of Babylon and make Babylon even better. So this letter is directed to a people who are in exile out of their home nation. And it's from a prophet who is still living in Israel, bringing a message to those people in Babylon. Okay? I'm just going to read from Jeremiah 29, verse 4. So it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and daughters, and give your daughters in marriage that they may increase. Don't let it be that you decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you to, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find yours. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets or your diviners are among you and deceive you. Don't let them deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on my name. You will pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us today. I thank you that we are your army in this land to transform this land. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd speak hope into us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd speak through me and equip us, Lord Jesus, to bring transformation in the UK, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. So I just have four basic points from this that I think God was saying to the exiles of how to live in order to bring God's kingdom in a nation that wasn't their own. Do you know, in Peter, we're referred to as exiles. So once you are saved, you are exiles because you are a member of the kingdom of heaven, but God has sent you down to this to be here as exiles in this land. So this letter we can take as written to us. The first point I have, believe that you were sent. Believe that you are a sent person. The scripture is full of God sending his people. God's people are his people because he sends them to other people. God's people are a sent people. All the way through scripture, they're a sent people. You are a sent person. God has called you. God has commissioned you. And God has commended you. Often in this nation, we get a bit confused, actually, about what called is, being called by God. We often relate to, oh, that's not, you know, my calling is this, my calling is that, about a very specific thing. In scripture, when it's used, when Paul uses it, he's often referring to the fact of salvation. He is called by God into God's presence. So to be called by God is actually being called out of this world, out of the darkness and into his light. It's being called into relationship with a father. It's being called to be God's person. It's being called into faith. It's being called into salvation. So when the Bible is saying you are called, I am a called person, I am called into salvation. You are a commissioned person. So Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. And it talks about us being a people commissioned by God. It's given a task to achieve on this world, being sent into this world with a task. Yeah. Matthew 10 talks about us being a people of God. And it says that we have the kingdom of heaven in our hands. It's at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now go into the world. That's a commission Jesus gives. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and be in all different areas. You are called, you are commissioned, and you are commended by God. In Hebrews 11, it talks about the people of faith who are commended by God for their faith. What does it mean to be a commended person? It means that you have the high honor of having the Holy Spirit living inside of you and taking it everywhere you go. Taking Holy Spirit everywhere you go, everywhere you step into, everywhere you walk into. When I was in worship, I was thinking about people who think that they're in a God-forsaken situation. People who are in exile, people who aren't necessarily in a job that they love, people who aren't necessarily loving life right now, people who aren't really enjoying everything. And you can often walk into those places and think, oh, this is God-forsaken. This is a God-forsaken place. Why am I here? It's because it's not God-forsaken if you're walking into it.
That's right.
It's not God-forsaken if he has sent you there.
Yeah.
Because you are the light of the world.
Yeah.
You are the light in that darkness. One of my biggest prayers is this, that God would send me to the deepest, darkest situations. And I can tell you, when I was sleeping in a hostel where people were allowed to use drugs, I knew I was working there. I knew. I was sitting there and I was praying and I could hear the rowdiness going on around me. And I was like, you know, this is hell. This is close to hell as I've ever been. And, it was pretty frightening. But I was there to work in that place. And I knew God hadn't forsaken those people because he had sent me to those people.
Yes, good.
God hadn't forsaken that place. God hadn't forsaken homelessness or the homeless because he had sent me.
Yes.
Where has God sent you? What job are you doing that you hate to go to every day? What doors are you walking through and thinking, oh, I don't want to be in this? What family are you walking into and thinking, oh, I actually don't want to be here at all? What friendship groups are you kind of, I'm a bit sick of these people? God has sent you to these people to be his light, to be his ambassador. And you are called to them. You are commissioned. And you are commended by God to go into those situations and bring transformation. Never think my life is rubbish, therefore I am not called, commissioned, and commended. If you're a Christian, you are called, commissioned, and commended. Whatever is going on around you, I often think about, some of the first readers of this would have been Daniel and his guys. This letter would have gone to Daniel. And if you've ever read the book of Daniel, you'll know that actually they started as servants in the king's house. In the end, Daniel ended up running the country. Why? Because he did things supernaturally. He interpreted dreams. He did what God said, and he listened. He prayed, and he continued living faithfully to God. And in the end, King Nebuchadnezzar, who is the one that came in with his people and stole all the Israelites to be his slaves, is heard saying, "Your God is the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. No one compares to your God." In fact, he sends a letter out. So because of Daniel's situation, he sends a letter out to the whole of Babylon for the Babylonians to hear that the Israelites' God is the God of all gods. You know, just do your menial thing. Do your life. Mm. Live your life.
Come on.
God has sent you to bring transformation. And I know I don't have much time to do three more points, but I thought it would be good to just rest on this just a second, because this is my main point, actually. Because unless you believe this, you will not see any transformation ever anywhere. God has called you. Believe it. I like reading through Philippians 1, where Paul says that he is. It would be better for him by far if he died. It would be better for him to die and go to heaven. So once you're called, it's better. It's better. It would be better for me if I died right now and went to heaven. Let's have that eternal perspective. But actually, for your sake, for my work colleague's sake, it's better that I be here, and therefore I know that I will remain here.
Yeah.
If you've ever been tempted by suicide because of your situation, God wants to break that off. He has you here as his person. He has you here as his called, commissioned, commended person. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would break off any spirit of suicide in this place, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would take it away. You have called us, Lord. You have sent us here, Lord. Help us believe it, Lord. Raise faith in us, Lord.
Come on, Lord.
My second point, pray and seek the welfare of the city that you live in. Pray. Prayer changes situations. The prayer of a righteous man, woman, is powerful and effective, able to change any situation. And join with others who pray. I love coming here on a Friday morning because I get to pray for education. I mean, you can't be around Jerry and not pray about education. or Jill even, in fact. I pray about the NHS. I pray about all kinds of different areas that I don't have connections into because people around me have connections into. Join with others who pray. Pray with others. On Friday night, Thursday night, I met with Eddie. I got to pray about media. Eddie works in media. I would never really naturally pray about media. But we were praying for the welfare of God to come in those places, the welfare of God to come in the government, the welfare of God to come in media and arts, in business. Pray and act. One of my other main prayers at this very moment is that I would start to have dreams. I hear lots of stories about God giving people dreams, and I'm pretty jealous. I've never been a person to remember a dream, let alone have a specific dream. But I listened to some podcasts, and I just think, I want dreams, God. Give me dreams. And I started praying, and I've started to remember some of my dreams. They're not very significant right now, but but it's a movement in the right direction. I'm praying for God to give me dreams. But when he talks, you've got to do it.
Yeah.
So that's it. You pray and you seek. You pray and you live out. You pray and you seek. In fact, when I started praying, someone else actually came up to me and said, "Oh, I had a dream about you last night." Pray for dreams. Pray for visions. Pray for God to speak into your situations, especially if it's impossible. If it's impossible in the natural, pray for God to speak and to give you an answer. Pray for dreams and visions. Just do that. And as you act, you'll see transformation. My third point is it's your everyday everything. It says here, look, go in, get married, have wives, have sons, have daughters, go and have your hair cut, go to Tesco or Sainsbury's, I'm not advertising anyone.
Or Lidl.
Or Lidl or Aldi.
Or Waitrose.
Or Waitrose, sorry, Dara. Yeah. Multiply there. Live life in the city. We serve a God. So this would have been a bit of a shocking thing, because to the religious, religion always brings you to separate yourself. Religion always brings you to go into a little huddle. It encourages you to just meet with like-minded people. It encourages you to stay away from those who are dirty. I mean, I'm at risk. If I go there, I'm at risk of sinning. Jesus was completely different. I love the story in Luke 5 where Jesus heals a leper. Because Jesus is just going about his ordinary business. And then a leper comes to him and says, "Heal me, make me well." And what does Jesus do? He touches him. And the guy gets healed. Now, it's actually just as amazing that Jesus touched this person as a Jewish person of this time. Have you ever read Leviticus 13? Leviticus 13 tells the person with leprosy to go live outside of the city, to live alone, to not be in communication or contact with people. It tells him that he has to go around shouting, I'm unclean," so that no one else could touch him, so that they don't become unclean. Jesus knew that actually uncleanness didn't flow to him. Cleanness flowed from him. The flow of cleanness flowed into Jesus from Jesus. And that's the same as you. What situations are you avoiding? Because it might, you know, make you sin, or it might make you go away from God. God calls you to be the incarnate church. The church living amongst people, living amongst your neighbors, getting to know them, living amongst your work colleagues, getting to know them. This is when we will see transformation come in London as we do this. Live among people. Don't be afraid of darkness coming to you. Obviously, pray for protection and God's guardianship and his fatherhood. But know that he has placed you there and his spirit flows from you. Duncan said something quite interesting there. There's nothing magic about me putting my hand on you. There's nothing magic, but there is power. God anoints people and fills them with his Holy Spirit. And when I lay hands, I know that the power comes. So it's not just the fact that we're family, although that is important. And this person, this leper, would have not been touched for years. Imagine the incredible moment when he's touched by Jesus. Imagine that. It's your everyday everything. And I mentioned going to the barber, not that I've been for a while, or for years, in fact, I do my own hair. But I think that's, you know, often a place where you can hang out, just a normal thing that you do. You go and you chat to someone. You're kind of a sitting audience at that point. Or a taxi driver. Steve has some great stories about taxi drivers. He has an Uber ministry. My final point is this. That God is faithful. Through it all, he is faithful. Through it all, he is faithful. No matter how much you love your family, no matter how much you love your colleagues, no matter how much you want to see your workplace transformed, no matter how much you want to see the kingdom of God come in, his peace, his prosperity, his welfare, no matter that, he wants to see it more. God will be faithful as you seek him, as you act, and we will see the transformation of this nation. I just wanted to pray, because this is what it says in Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God says you will receive power as you encounter my Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in Barnet, in London, in the UK, in Europe, and beyond, to the ends of the earth. So I'd like to invite Steve back, but I'd like anyone just to stand, everyone in fact, just to stand up, because I believe this is a season of receiving the power of God. Lord God, I thank you that you are powerful. You are almighty God, powerful and reigning on high. Thank you that you promised your Holy Spirit to empower your people. And I pray now, Lord Jesus, as we stand here, that we would be empowered by you, Lord. Come and encounter your people, Lord Jesus. Come and fill us with your power, Lord. Not just for now, Lord Jesus, but for Monday morning, Lord. Not just for Monday, but for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Fill us with your power, Lord. Jesus, send your Holy Spirit in this place. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.